Amen, amen. I tell you, he took a big chance, didn't he, asking me to come up here? Great day in the morning. I am so glad to be here, I can tell you that now. I've been looking forward to it ever since we met that day. And it was a sad day, but it was a good day. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm going to see Jerry Scott again, man, and we're going to get to talk some old Clemson stuff, and it probably won't make much difference back in then, though. But I'm glad to be here. I talked to a bunch of fellows out there that worked with me at DuPont. I worked at DuPont for 32 and a half years. I was bivocational for almost about 8 to 10 years. And I'm telling some of them about there a while ago. Y'all probably know them as Woodrow Bowers. All I know is whoa, whoa. Buster Huff and some of these fellas back there that worked with me at the plant. I said, you know, 35 or 40 years ago, you would have never believed that you was going to be in a church service and me preaching. I can tell you that now, but God's good. His grace is amazing. Amen. I love that song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. And if I could sing, I would sing. But now look here, just because I can't sing don't mean I ain't going to sing. My mama told me growing up, she said, son, I hate to tell you this. And before my mama died, she said, Joey, I was a Joey growing up. I turned into a Joe, except my sister still calls me Joey. But my mama said, Joey, I want to tell you something. And I said, okay, mama, what is it? She said, son, you can't sing. I said, Mama, she said, you can't sing, son. And she said, I'm going to tell you something else. And I said, okay, Mama, what is it? She said, you ain't the best whistle I ever heard either. But she told me that. But I'm not going to try to sing. But God is good, and I am glad to be here tonight. All I'm going to ask you to do tonight is I want you to be honest with yourself tonight. Don't you look at the person sitting beside you. I don't care if it's your husband or your wife or your child or your mom or your daddy. All I want you to do tonight is be honest with yourself. If you'll do that, I promise you God will move in this place tonight. Amen. I promise you he will. And yeah, I've got called. I wasn't the best person in the world. I didn't get saved. I was 32 years old. Old preacher Howard Brown at Antioch Baptist Church baptized me. I got saved at the house, went home at the graveyard, got down by my bed, and my life was in a mess. And I asked the Lord to save me. I told him I needed him, man. I'd done messed up, and I needed him. And I asked him, I said, Lord, would you save me today? And Michael, the craziest thing happened. He did. You know what? We try to make getting saved so hard, and getting saved's easy. The Bible says the Spirit draws us, and the Spirit draws you. All you've got to do is accept that call. And I did. And old Howard Brown baptized me in the baptistry, the Antioch Baptist Church. We had a big old block in that baptistry that the kids stood on. He baptized me that day. He had to stand on the block. And when he got me down, I didn't know whether he was going to pick it up or keep picking up and get me back up. But he did. But praise the Lord for his amazing grace. I think about where I was at years ago and where I'm at today. My wife worked at the hospital. You may have seen her. She took your money when you went down there. She had a man to come one day and to pay on his bill. And he looked and she had my picture and my sons and my grandchildren's pictures up there. And she said, oh, Lord, so you married old Joe Stein? She said, yeah, that's my husband. And he talked a little bit. He said, well, Joe retired from the plant, didn't he? She said, yeah, he retired. He said, well, what's Joe doing now? He said, oh, Joe's preaching. So that man took that chair and scooted all the way back and screamed and said, oh, no, there ain't no way that man's a preacher. But my Bible tells me that the old man died and the new man comes up. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. I'm a new creation in him. I pastored for almost 26 years. I retired from El Bethel Faith Community Church in Lugo, off, non-denominational church, but I retired, but I've been busy since. And it looks like the Lord is opening doors for me to get into some of these Baptist churches. I'm happy, man. Hey, man, I got to do homecoming at my old Antioch Baptist church here a couple of weeks ago. But I think about where I was at and where I'm at today, and I just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want my wife to stand up right there. Miss Gwen, you stand up. This is her. We just celebrated 50 years together in September. Thank you. And I really don't know how she put up with me for a long time, really and truly. But I thank her for sticking with me through thick and thin, through the good and the bad. And it was a lot of bad. You couldn't have read a better scripture today when you read the 51st Psalm. See, I was right there. I was having to pray, Lord, just forgive all mine iniquities. Lord, forgive me. And he did. And I am where I am today. I don't know what you've been through in your life. I don't know what you've been through. But if you think God can't use you, give me 5 minutes after church and let me talk to you and tell you what God can do. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight. I don't title my sermon, so I hate it, but I don't, never have. I want you to turn, if you would, with me to Matthew chapter 26. I want to use one piece of a verse, and then I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 7, and then we're going to end up in John chapter 9. But I want you to help me with just a little bit tonight. Michael, again, thank you for allowing me to be here. He heard me at that funeral, and that's really the only time he's heard me. I think his dad, Mike, has heard me a couple of times at some funerals, and I appreciate it. But I'm glad that I get to preach tonight, and we had having a good time. We had a good time that day at Jerry's. I promise you I did. Miss Jo's back there, and I love her dearly. Amen. And if you ask her, I'm her guardian angel. She can tell you that story. But I'm her guardian angel and always will be, and I'll always love you, Miss Jo. You remember that, okay? But if you would, in Matthew chapter 26, I was glad to see Eric get out from behind the pulpit last night. I had done asked Brother Michael if I could get out behind the pulpit. I don't like to stay back there. I'm a walker. See, you can learn a lot about people if you walk. In my church, hey, I was there for 18 and a half years, and I walked from the front to the back. Don't tell anybody, but every now and again I run. I walked to the back. And I walked through there one day. And see, you catch people. They, you catch them by surprise if you walk. And I'm like, I think I'm loud. My wife says I have a big mouth. But I think I'm just loud a little bit. And I walked up on a lady, and I said, man, she's really into the word. She's doing this thing. And I just stopped, kind of like you. I just stopped and put my, and I looked down. And she was doing a Sudoku puzzle. I thought I was cruising. I thought I had them stirred up. And here she goes. And she looked up and saw me. I thought we were going to have to call the ambulance. She liked her pain. But I'm going to read this verse of scripture. This is the time when Jesus is standing before the high priest and the Sanhedrin, and they're fixing to take him to the cross. And Peter has stepped up, and Peter's trying to get a look and see what's going on. And Jesus said Peter was going to deny him three times before the cock crowed. And this is the time I want you to look at what it says about Peter. And I'm hoping that it says the same thing about you. And if it don't, that's what I want to talk to you about. Look at this right here in verse 73 in Matthew 26. And after a while came to him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. And that's when we get our word betrays you. Surely, Peter, you're one of them, because your speech is like their speech. My brother Mike, I thought about that today. I said, man, wouldn't that be something the Lord say about me, that my speech sounds like his speech? Huh?
16, and it says, "For God so loved the world that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." See, that gives all of us a chance. See, I'm a whosoever. I hope you are a whosoever. If you ain't a whosoever, maybe I'm going to touch upon that. I'm going to say ain't. Okay? I ain't as refined as Brother Michael. I'm just country, and I'm old, and you get 7 years old, you've got all that you want. Okay? But I'm a whosoever person. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit of the Lord came down, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and said, it's going to be so strong that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Jesus told Mary the Martha, when you sang that song, I said, listen, when Jesus came to Mary the Martha, and they said, "Lord, if you're just being there, our brother wouldn't die." So he's going to rise again because she said, "I will be raised for the last day." And Jesus said these words in John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said this, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." He said that because he was fixing to go to the tomb and call Lazarus forth. But then he said this, "And whosoever," oh, I love that verse, "whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." That's why it's so important. That's why I like that word, Brother Mike. Whosoever. See, a Calvinist can't use that word. He can't explain that word. Whosoever. I love it. I'm a whosoever. I hope you are. I hope you are. But you know, I've come to find out, and I think with Brother Kenny hit a little bit on this tonight. I thought he was going to go a little bit in, but you know, we see so many people, and we see it on Facebook, and people dying, and people say, "Oh, I know they rejoiced in heaven." Had two rock stars are dying. Somebody put on this, "Oh, I bet they jammed in heaven." Well, they may be jamming in heaven if they were a whosoever. If they were not a whosoever, they'd be jamming in heaven. The Lord didn't send me down here to judge, condemn, or look down my nose at nobody, but I know what this word says. And Jesus said, "You've got to be a whosoever to be with me." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Amen. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
See, I didn't hurt, did it? I'm going to say it again. Amen.
Amen.
Play it out. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to go down here, but I like that. We might want to say facts. All you preachers in here tonight, you had to stand and preach, and you wondered where that person was. You can't preach them in, you can't preach them out. But again, let's just face it, everybody ain't going to heaven. I can show you one in the Bible. Remember the rich man in Lazarus?
Yes,
the Bible says that the rich man in hell opened his eyes. Did he not?
Yeah.
But if you got whosoever. See, that's what you got to make sure you got whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, how I get that part, Joe, I'm glad you asked me. Romans 10 and 9. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Praise the Lord. That's what I did. September 1979. Got by my bed. Said, "Lord, have mercy. I need you. I've messed up my life. Everything's in a mess, and I need you to forgive me and come in." And my life changed, and I ain't never been the same. Have I been perfect? No. I ain't been perfect. I messed up. Say it. Now's your time. Say amen, brother. But see, I like that verse of Scripture. We all got our favorite verses of Scripture. I love John 3:16. I love 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. All of the righteousness. I've had to use that a bunch of times. It says that we just to forgive. Then he's got the other part that says, and he cleanses us. And what I really believe is we can get out there so far sometimes, Brother Mike and Brother Mike, I think that he has to screw us down sometimes. Now, oh, God, I have a real spiritual mind. All right, you don't ever have a problem. God ain't never mind. God ain't never had to be struck down. Well, I can tell you right now, I've had to be struck down. Don't get real spiritual. Even when I'm being a minister, I can get a good struggle. Everybody's got faith. I love it. What am I faith? Let me give you my. Y'all know what my favorite verse of scripture is. And I can tell some of y'all like this verse too, even though you may not even know. It's in there. I believe it's in Proverbs chapter 23, maybe verse 26. And it says this. Some of y'all like this. You're living like that. Those that put their trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Come on, man. Somebody thought about to get that. I like it, but you can like it a little bit. I know what the scripture means. I know what it means, but I like it. Some of y'all like it. Some of y'all need to start trusting the Lord. You skinny? Then you can make fat. I know what it means. I know exactly what it means, but I still like it. And I use it from time to time, especially when I'm eating that ice cream. Eating that stuff all night to eat. But I'm that whosoever person. I want to make sure tonight before I leave from here that if you're in here and if you'll listen to the Lord, I want you to be that whosoever when you go out of this place. If you will, I want you to turn with me to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Y'all know this story? Good story. I'm going to read the first few verses, then we're going to talk about some of them, okay? John chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Listen to what it says. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents? That he was born blind. See, that was a thinking in that day. That was a thinking in that day. If you messed up, God was going to put something on you. If your parents messed up, you could get the you might be the recipient of that. But Jesus said something. He said, nobody. So this man is born blind, so I'm fixing to do a work in him that God's going to get some glory out of. I don't care what's going on with you. I promise you, God can take care of whatever it is. This man had never saw a day in his life. Jesus knew that he had been blind from birth. The disciples didn't. All the disciples were doing was trying to figure out why he was in that shape. Jesus wanted to help him. See, that's what whosoever's do. Whosoever's trying to love and help somebody. Come on. But I want you to look. It says that Jesus took and spit on the ground and made a little mud pie like we all used to do when we were little. And he took that mud and he put it in the man's eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the Bible says that the man left, went to the pool, and came away seeing. Now, I've often wondered, why did Jesus make the mud? But now, if you go back in Genesis, didn't he form us out of the dirt, dust of the ground? I believe this man, you ever seen a person, there's a lot of reasons why people are blind. But most times when people are born blind, they don't have any eyeballs. A lot of them. I really believe, Brother Mike, I could be wrong. Got no way to back it up. But I believe that Jesus made that mud and put on that man's eyes and created eyeballs for him to see. Woo! I serve a miracle-working God. Amen. I serve a God that can do anything. I can't prove that. believe it.
But the man came away seeing. Now see, I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe there's nowhere in Scripture, nowhere in this Bible, that anybody that came in contact with Jesus didn't leave different than when they saw him. I know one thing, brother. When he touched me in September of 1979, I came away a different man. I ain't that same old fella that was running out there to plant cussing and roping and smoking and carrying on and doing stupid stuff. I'm a new man. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. I'm a new creation. You can't, listen to me, people. You need to get this. You need to get this. You can't come in contact with Jesus, meet him face to face, and not be changed. And I'm going to tell you something else. Everybody around you is going to know the difference. See, if you go back and read this, I think it's about verse 8. They went to the neighbors. That's the first thing they went to. They went to the neighbors and said, look here, is this really the man that was born in mine? Man, he's out walking. He's out doing. They went to the people that he associated with. And they said, yeah. The people that you come in contact with every day, your neighbors, your friends, your co-workers, do they know who you are? Does your speech betray you? Do they know who you are? Have you changed? Have you changed? Or are you still standing around with me? The Pharisees were religious people in that day. They went to him and said,
born blind, is he really healed? Let me tell you what that really means to me. That man sitting right there, if you're a member of Sam Hill Baptist Church, he's going to know you are whosoever. He ain't got to worry about you coming on Sunday morning. He ain't got to beg you to come on Sunday night. He ain't got to beg you to come on Wednesday night. He ain't got to beg you to tithe. He ain't got to beg you to love somebody. But you're whosoever. Old things have passed away. The old all time are new. Let me ask you this. You may not be a member here saying you. You may be some, you may be old Mount Disney man that I like in life. Are you saying that? Let me ask you this, I mean, there's a church out there. You are whosoever. I'm older than Michael, not for just a few years, right? I'm older than him. I believe, how long have you been in the ministry?
18 months.
18 months? I've been a little bit longer. Well, let me tell you what, I spent a lot of my time. Now, the Lord blessed us in our church. We went from 35 people to 300. The Lord blessed us. But the Lord used me, but the Lord blessed us. But let me tell you what it took. It took some work. But you know what I really spent a lot of my time doing? Do you know what I had to do? I had to go to people, right? I had to go to people, man, you know. What is this talking about Wednesday night? We could have 250 on Sunday morning. We might have 75 on Wednesday night. What is that? I thought the Bible said this to me now. I think Hebrews 11:25 says, not forsaking the assembling yourself together, such as some do. Well, I'm dead now. See, I'm dead. But I'm asking you, does your church know that you're whosoever? Does he know? If you don't go here and jump preach, you know who you are? Or does he have to come busting you up, staring you up? That's what I spend a lot of my time doing, trying to beg people to come to church. Calling on the phone, going to houses. Excuses. Lord, y'all know when the kids had that song? I told you this song, I can't sing on it, I won't. I'm going to sing that song, excuses. I hear them every day. The devil, he'll supply them if from church you come away. Huh? Woo! Don't have me. The priest know? Huh? Oh, they got time to get you. Well, I ain't got to go to church. No, you ain't got to go to church. No, I won't go to church. See, I don't have to go to church. I get to go. Yeah. Did y'all hear what I say? Yeah. I don't have to go. I get to go. Man, it's a pleasure. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And I'm so glad to be here tonight. I could just about run. Y'all are right running. Don't tell Flynn Hill Baptist Church that. I hate to say this. I was doing a revival for them about 10 years ago. And I had a little Baptist church. And all the many people we had today. And I broke and ruined on them. I didn't do that. I went to the back and made a circle to come out. And I just turned around and stood and made
church. I ain't
name will get you to heaven.
Amen.
You got to be a whosoever. And if you ever, that's what I told our deacon board in our church and our elders, if we could ever get people saved, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, you ain't got to beg them no more. You ain't got to beg them. Oh, they're cool. They want to be that. You like those preachers used to be white. I was trying to think of his name. I know his name was Bill something. He came down to a revival at Antioch years ago when I just got saved. And he said he couldn't see. He had to have a fellow leading around. I can't remember his name. But he said that when he got
Billy Nation.
That's exactly right. They lead him up on the stage, and I think that drummer was going to step off and hurt himself. He preached right. But he said when he got saved, that he got so much of God in him, that he went every time the doors was open. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, he showed up at the WU meeting. That's what we need, to pump our church full of people that want to be here. Man, I want to be here. I believe I'm looking for somewhere. I go to the campground in Maggie Valley. I've been going there now for 4 years. I do a Bible study on Wednesday night. Because we're up there most times during the week. I do a Bible study. I think we have a good time. But I want to be somewhere. I want to be somewhere fellowshipping with God's people. Let me ask you this right here. Does this church know you who you are? The next thing he said they went to is they went to his parents. Is that a fellow that was born blind? Is that the one that was stumbling around, walking around him, couldn't see? Is this really him? They said, yeah, that's him. Let me ask you this, Rocky. This is a big question, I think. Your family know that you're a new son? Does your family know that you were born again believer? When I was lost as I could be, I was a member of my family here at the church. We didn't have that thing. And my wife would get up on Sunday. And I worship work. He had a Christian today. Anybody that worship work, you got to every shoe somewhere on Sunday to go to church. You can't go to your own day. On 412, you just two more out of the duck bill. And graveyard, you don't need nothing. You just say, I want a graveyard. That's it. And then you get that 1 week a month off. You ain't going to know how to use that. My wife would get up, she'd get her little boy, getting ready to go to church. I'd lay in the bed, whatever she had done was on. And I would hear my brother come listening, I would hear him say, Mom, I'm going to stay on the bed today. If you know I got to put that in, bother me. You know why?
I told her, if you let me go back in,
I'll do my best to go as much as I can, just okay. And I'll go on Sunday morning, Sunday night. I'll do my thing, though. I'll do it. On Sunday night after church, chair of the board of deacons walked up to me and said, I need to talk to you. I said, yes, sir. What you need, brother? He said, man, you've been watching. I said, you really bad eye on me. Said, man, you really dedicated. You dedicated to this church. You always here. You always ready to help. And we want you to be a deacon in our church. I thought about that talk. I said, bro, I don't think so. He said, man, don't tell me. Don't give me no answer. You go home and pray about it. I went home, I told him, I said, anybody ask me to be a deacon? Man, I can't be a deacon. Sorry, sorry, I'm not going to be playing. See, that's what it is in that church. You got people playing. They come in here sitting in pews, and because they're a member of Sand Hill Baptist Church, or Mount Vista Baptist Church, or Beth Anthony Westville Church, or Second Baptist Church, or wherever you go to church, they do enough like me, sitting and praying. I fooled all the people, everybody in the church. I fooled them all. Oh, I called and told them, no, brother, ain't no way I can be no deacon. I didn't give them no reason. I still didn't know. But the Lord started working on me. Ooh-wee. My, I went back to church. I mean, went back to work. I worked, shift worked in. There's a bunch of us got some New Testaments. Brand on ship. Let's go in the New Testament. And man, they started reading that. We were reading that thing and stuff. A bunch of heathens. None of us were saved. We were reading that word. And man, I got John chapter 3. Old Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious man. He'd stand on the corner and pray some prayers like he would believe. He wore the fancy clothes and then robes on. All that stuff. He come to Jesus trying to find out some things about life. And Jesus said, this religious man. See, that's what I associate that with, as being a church member. Just as a religious man. He tells him, he says, boy, let me tell you something. You got to be born again. Nicodemus scratched. I believe he scratched. Don't say that. I believe he scratched his head. He kind of looked at the wheel and said, man, I had to work. I'll be born again. Now I go back to my mother's womb, be born again. And Jesus said these words. Blessed man is born of water and of the Spirit. Come out here to the kingdom of God. What's born of the flesh is flesh. What's born of the Spirit is Spirit. And all the words I say to you, you must be born again. Are you that? Are you born again? Are you a whosoever? See, that's a whosoever. Huh? All church membership ain't going to get you nowhere. I promise you. Man, I'll tell you, the Lord got me. We were reading that scripture. I came home that morning. Fell down by my bedside 8:30 in the morning on a Friday morning. That's what I told you. What I told you. Lord, look, here I am. I ain't much. Man, I've messed up my life, messed up my family, messed up everything. And I need you. Lord, you come and save me. And yeah. Man, I stood up from that floor. Woo! I slept like a baby that day. Slept like a baby. Well, I knew right here. Nothing was going to change. And I started working. Man, you know, it's kind of like anything. I went back to church and finally took a deacon job. And I'm going to say this, man, a Baptist church, and I'm not being hooded, but we'll do the same thing, non-denominational, Pentecostal, whatever. If you work, they'll give you a job. They give you every job they have. I was doing everything. I was a deacon chair. I was this. I was Sunday school director, praying director. I was already here. I was this, I was that. I think I'm dead myself a couple times going back and forth. One meeting to another. But he changed me. I was a new creature. I can tell you this. My wife knew that I changed. The people that I worked with, Ed O'Neill, Tom Barnes, John Youngers, ECS Smith. Oh, I took I hate to say this. I had a nasty mouth. Anybody know what I had that mouth? I had a nasty mouth. I don't know if I heard you say that. I had a nasty mouth. And when the Lord saved me, I said, Lord, you got good in your spirit. I can see the look in his eyes. And I reached out my hand and I said, brother, I want you to forgive me. And maybe he like pass out. I said, man, I have been the sorrowest looking joke that's ever been, and I want you to forgive me. But I have been forgiven. You know what I'm talking about. I know he does, but he always been the same thing. Charlie Humphrey's the same way. Went back and talked to him. Because, see, I don't believe in creation. And I want the people around me to know that things have changed. I wanted them to know. I wanted my family to know. I wanted the church to know. But the next thing that they do is they go find the man that was born in line. And they come to him and say, now look at this one. You give God the glory. We know this man is a son. Let's go ahead and tell God. He said, look again. Here's what the old man said. He said, well, he being a sinner or not, or no. One thing I know, once I was blind, but now I see. That's me. When I got up that morning by my bedside, I knew, brother, beyond a shadow of doubt, that I was a whosoever. I knew that I was blind, and now I can see. I was like old Paul or Saul when he was on the road to Damascus. And he went down eyes and closed it. He'll take the scales off his eyes. Brother, I can finally see for the first time in my life. And my life has never been the same. Never in my wildest dreams would I ever thought he would call me to preach. I kind of got out of the Baptist church and got into a Pentecostal charismatic church. Don't let me scare you. I'm going to scare you. I'll tell you where I was at. I was sitting there about that view right there in church one morning. We had a man that would give a word to a man, and he came down and put his hand on my shoulder. Scared me to death. And he told me, he said, Lord, he's calling you into the ministry. I'm going to get up and run just as far out that back door. I couldn't wait to preach that day. Whoever was preaching, I wanted to preach. But I was listening. I was sitting over there shaking in my boots. After church, I went to the preacher. I said, man, how come I listen? He said, man, I know. And he said the same thing they had told me. He said, we've been watching you. We knew the Lord had something to do. We knew he was going to do something with you. I stayed at that church. I was ordained out of that church and put pastor for 6 years there. And the Lord called me to help him. Never been the same. Never been the same. It's the same. When I finally figured out that I needed to be that whosoever. I needed to be that. I wanted my wife to know that I was that whosoever. I wanted everybody around me that I worked with to know that I was that. I wanted my church to know that I was a new servant. But I wanted to know. And the Bible says that his spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. I love what it says. The Bible says, the Bible calls us all kinds of stuff. The Bible calls, he said, man, we're overcome, we're more than conquerors. But I love what it says in 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father so upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I'm a son of God. Huh? That's good. I mean, that's good. I'm a son of God. Whether you believe it or not, I'm a son of God. See, people, we don't understand it. I got a sermon I can preach on being called the sons of God. If you don't think that's weird, go down to Walmart tonight. When you get out of here, walk in there, go down there and stand there and tell me you're a son of God. They'll call Popo on me. But I am. That's what I am. A son. I'm a whosoever. Let me ask you, as I close up. Let me ask you here. Does the people that you hang around with, your neighbors, your friends, do they know that you are? Does your church know? If you go here, does that man know you are? Or he thinks you are? He knows you're a member here, but does he know that you're a disciple? Do they know that you are? Do you know? That's what it's for. Do you know that you are? I hear people say all the time, well, I think I am. If you say you think you am, you are, you probably ain't. There, I wouldn't say that word again, ain't it? If you just think you are, you probably ain't. Well, I'm telling you right now, His Spirit in you lets me know who I am and who I belong to. See, I can mess up now. I can mess up. Y'all can have real spiritual right now. Hey, my dog is up. I mess up, and I can tell you right now, tell me something. Walking up in here, walking butt straight up, getting things right. Huh? Angie, you're working on me. Feel like my heart's coming out of my chest. I've been messed up up there. Eric said something like that. I said, man, you know, Eric's a long way. People talking about road rage. You know what I hate to get on that interstate. We go back and forth with Daddy, right? And somebody get in that left hand lane and won't get out of my way. I can say, well, give me something with some rubber bumpers on the front. And then the guys will push you. Push him up a little bit. But I trained my wife, right? She can help me a lot. When I get like that, she says, bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord. But she knows. But the big thing is I will come on, Jesus. I want you to stand with me for a minute. I'm going to ask you a question. I know we've been sitting down a lot. I want to ask you tonight. You be honest with yourself. I don't care whether you go to church here or not. Nobody knows it. Be honest with yourself tonight. Can you say, yeah, everybody around me knows who I am and who I belong to? Yeah, my preacher knows me. He knows who I am and who I belong to. Yeah, my family knows who I am and who I belong to. Yeah, I know who I am and who I belong to. And I think Eric said that I know that I know that I know that I know. I want to ask you tonight, what you singing, baby? You going to sing? Amazing Grace. I want you to listen to this. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Save the rest of me. I once was lost. Now I'm back. See, the Bible says, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. See, I needed that much grace. That morning by my bedside, I was abounding in sin. And I needed much grace. He said, I got just enough for you, brother. I got just enough for you to get you back to where you need to be. Because I got a job. I didn't know I had nobody here, no job for me to do. Man, I'm a shy little boy. I'm real shy. Didn't want to talk to nobody. And Lord, He gave me the gift of gab. Hey, some of y'all say, Lord, come on, everybody got the end of my love. Let me ask you tonight. This Michael comes up here. I'm going to stay in there. I want you to make sure tonight that you know. That your friends know. That your family know. And that this church knows. If you ain't 100% on that, come on down, Lord. You ain't really got to talk, Mike. Man, you come and so I'd love to see this all be fool. This all be fool. Say, Lord, I want to make sure. I want to make sure that I do so that you call me to. Come on, man. Say.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but
Let me ask you right here tonight. Listen, His grace is sufficient. You can sit back there if you want to. I promise you, I don't believe the Lord sent me all the way up here to preach this message and for you not to respond. I believe the Lord is speaking to some people back there. I really do. I believe that you need to come up here and you need to make some things right today. Maybe you hadn't been that whosoever to your neighbors. Maybe you hadn't been that whosoever to your family. Maybe you hadn't been that whosoever to this church and to this preacher right here. You need to do it tonight. Go ahead.
'Twas great.